Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. These are God's words. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, there are many who say, I want to know Jesus. And there are many who perhaps even pray to Jesus, Lord, fill me. Or they would love for others, and especially for God, to say, He is one who is full of Christ. But many people mean different things by those things. What's important to us is what does, we're in verses 12 and 13. What's important to us is what does the Bible mean by being full of Christ or being a mature Christian? And how does the Bible say that that happens? Well, last week in chapter 4 and verse 11, we heard that Jesus' gifts after himself, of course, he was the first great gift, his own first great gift, and we considered that in verses 8 through 10. After giving himself as a first great gift, verse 11 we heard about four gifts, all of which have to do with the giving or teaching or applying or shepherding by the scriptures. And we find out now why it is so important for us to have this scripture teaching ministry. The reason that we have to have this scripture teaching ministry is, first of all, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. The equipping of the saints, this word that is translated equipping, is used elsewhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, for the fixing of the nets and the hooks of the fishermen when they're not on duty. Nets get tears in them and they become less useful for their purpose. Hooks get bent and they become less useful for their purpose. It's used outside of the New Testament for the setting of a broken bone. Certainly, a bone that gets broken is less useful for its purpose. And so the Lord comes and he tells us here in these verses that one of the reasons why Jesus has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers, the reason he's given us the ministry of his word, is it is because it is by this that we are made useful for our purpose. And what is our purpose? Our purpose is to serve, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. And he uses the word that from which we get the word deacon. For this word that's translated ministry is related to the word deacon. And it's just an ordinary word that means serving. Well, in what are we to serve? We are to serve especially in building up the body of Christ. Now, in the self-esteem age that began a couple generations ago, and may the Lord deliver us from it sometime soon, building up is thought of as praising and making one feel good about himself. And so there are some who say, oh, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or for the building up of the body of Christ, so that's making the body of Christ feel good about. No, it's not. It's adding living stones onto Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and the and the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and fitting those stones together. So reshaping. And you hear now why we need that equipping, that fixing of the bent hook, or that mending of the broken net, or that setting of the broken bone, because we are being fitted together as stones. And that is building one another up. Knocking off a little piece here that shouldn't be there, building up a little piece there that should be there. So the whole body being fitted together grows up into Christ, who is the head. So we've had this building up language before in the epistle to the Ephesians. And all of the saints are supposed to be ministering to one another according to the scriptures, not with our ideas, not with what this passage means to me, and you just share whatever thought came into your head while you were reading it, or whatever neat feelings you had about it. No. This is why we have not just apostles and prophets by whom the Lord caused his word to be written, but evangelists who told that word to where it had not been heard, and especially pastors and teachers who explain and apply the word correctly, so that we may have this word ministry to one another, and the body of Christ may be built up. So as this body of Christ is being built up, what are we hoping to see? Okay, so verse 13 begins with the word till. So we are being mended, made useful, equipping of the saints, making useful of the saints for the work of serving one another. Serving one another in what? Particularly in the building up of the body of Christ. Till, and this is now going to say, what are we aiming at as we are building? What are we hoping will be the outcome? Sometimes when they're building, like they are up at Highway 31 and James Campbell at Legends, I don't know if they have this up there, but they'll put the architect's drawing of what it'll look like while it's finished. And it doesn't always look like that during the construction. But they are going to be working on that. They're going to be building that until it comes to look like the picture. So the apostle is telling us, what's that picture? What does it look like? So we all come to the unity, and everyone says, oh, I want unity in my church. I just want everybody to feel all warm and nice and fuzzy about each other, and never get upset at one another for our disagreements, never have any fights. We all just get along, and no matter what we think, we can still accept one another. Well, that may be the absence of warfare, but it's not peace with God, and it's not the unity here, because it tells us what kind of unity, right? Till we all come to the unity of the faith. And so what is the word doing? The word is taking our thoughts and preferences and desires and values, and it's reshaping our thoughts to be like Jesus' thoughts. And it's reshaping our preferences to be like Jesus' preferences, and our values to be like Jesus' values, and our desires to be like Jesus' desires. So the unity of the faith is not this absence of hostility among those who think and value many different kinds of things. The unity of the faith is as we are all brought, our minds and hearts and wills are brought into conformity with Jesus Christ, in conformity with his word, we have that unity. And so the church is built up by each part, each member of the church, individually being built up into Christ and being conformed to Jesus' image. And that's when we think and value like the scripture teaches, what do we find? We find that we come to know Jesus more and more, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. As you grow in understanding the scripture, as you Your scripture knowledge increases, and your understanding of what you know increases, and your application of it increases. You'll see more and more the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not just at the heart of scripture, but scripture as a means by which your Redeemer, who gave himself for you and loves you and is preparing a place for you and will come again for you and will take you to himself. You're not just going to know the Bible better, but you'll discover that the Lord Jesus is using the Bible to make you to know him better. So this unity of the faith, having our minds conformed to Christ, then the knowledge of the Son of God coming to know Christ, and then to a perfect man. What is a perfect or a mature man? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So how do you measure Christian maturity? You measure Christian maturity by likeness to Christ. The more your mind, your heart, your words, your conduct looks like Christ's, the more mature you are. And how does Christian maturity happen? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So how do you become like Christ? Well, by being filled with Christ. Now, there are a lot of things that you can sit around in a planning meeting, a lot of activities you can come up to do, come up with for the church to do. A lot of things you can plan in a planning meeting. But there's nothing that a man can plan and say, oh, this will fill you with Jesus. The only one who can plan what will fill you with Jesus is Jesus. And therefore, if this is what we want, to have this unity of the faith and to know the Lord Jesus and to be matured according to the pattern of Jesus and especially to be filled with Jesus himself, if that's what we want, then what we're going to do is we're going to have a pastor-teacher ministry in the Word of God, where every member is seeking to have their understanding, their Bible knowledge, their theological knowledge, which is just how all of the truth of the Bible fits together, their personal knowledge, the vital application of those truths in their life and experience, in which we are each seeking to help one another be more and more exactly according to the Bible. And in order to have that kind of unity, in order to be equipped, to be mended for usefulness in that kind of body-building ministry, we needed to have these pastor-teachers who are Jesus' appointed instruments by whom each of us is made useful for such a ministry to one another. So does that mean that means you listen to your elders, and when your elders have planned a time and the means of grace, especially in the preaching and teaching of the Bible, also in praying, whenever we have the administration of the sacraments, that you seek to be there and attend well upon it, and you say, Jesus, this is how you put me in good repair for usefulness to the rest of your body. Mend me, equip me. And it means that you seek, in addition to the teaching of your elders, the leadership, the shepherding of your elders, that you take counsel. And if they should happen to encourage you something, you receive that encouragement. You press on in it. If you were rebuked for something, you take that rebuke to heart and you consider it from Scripture before God, and thank him that your elders are shepherding you just as Jesus gave them to you to do. And as you learn the truth and are corrected, you share that with one another and you act according to it with one another. It's very hard to act in an increasingly mature, biblically mature way around others if they are not also doing. So we need to all do it together. So we'll mutually reinforce one another, and neither distract our brothers and sisters who are seeking to be built up in the way that this passage teaches us, nor make them feel awkward or out of place. Isn't it awful that often the place where someone who is maturing in Christ feels awkward or out of place is actually in the church? But if we each seek to avail ourselves of the ministry that the Lord Jesus has given here in dependence upon Him and His Spirit, then we will reinforce one another. We will serve one another in that way. And we'll hear more about that in the next couple of lessons in Ephesians chapter 4 as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving to me and to my family this lesson and this portion of your word today, this afternoon. We thank you for the elders that you have given us. We pray that you would help us to remember from last week's lesson that they are gifts from Jesus. And we pray that you would help us to aim at being made useful to the rest of your body, to serve them and their being built up into Christ. Lord, we do want to have this unity of the faith. We do want to know you. We do want to be made like you. We do want to be filled with you. And so help us in the basic day-to-day and week-to-week working out of availing ourselves, making good use of your means that you have appointed for this, so that we can see those wonderful ends. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.